cliffcentral.com.
Yeah, it's that time of the week again. It is the weekly mashup with me, Dimisha Masha, and my gorgeous co-host, who is wearing a top that makes no sense, but it still looks amazing. Candice.
Oh, T.
Candy Mama. How are you doing?
Thank you for pointing that out. It's so funny. You know, yeah. I feel like all of us make those purchases that make no flippin' sense.
So what was the reason behind this particular purchase? Okay. Can I describe the top to the listener so that they understand? Okay, so there's this top. And at first, when she was sitting down, I thought she looked particularly great. I was like, it's a nice, you're dressed nicely. Then I was like, but why does your top have a tie at the waist level? I don't understand why there's a tie there. And yes. She doesn't also understand why there's a tie there, but she bought the top.
It's decorative.
So that's what it looks like. Okay,
yes.
So explain.
Okay, so firstly, I do look like I could just double up as a waitress at any minute.
Exactly.
Like a chef or whatever.
Yeah.
But what happened was I was in Zara, and I saw that these girls were like unpacking these tops. And because I'm a Zara connoisseur, if I must say so myself, I know more or less how they price their t-shirts. So,
oh, okay.
Yes. So I saw them like putting these prices on these t-shirts, and I'm like, there's no ways this t-shirt's only going for $180.
Ah.
So I took it to the front, and I took a couple of other t-shirts, and like this guy scanned it, and he's like, oh no, this is actually $350. I was like, oh wow, I'm getting my $170
top. Yeah, like that was your... That was your mistake.
Yeah. And then I was like, ooh, I would have been so sad. I would have never paid $350
okay,
for this.
Okay, can I ask you a question? Now that you've done all that, okay, yes. Now that you moved away and you walked off and you're wearing it for the first time, obviously, because you still don't know how to tie it up.
Yes.
How do you feel about what you did? Your gangster move.
I feel actually very accomplished. So,
is it?
Like
is it?
I wear it just, you know, when I want to feel proud of myself, that's when I put
like
it on.
Like you feel like Donald Trump right now. You're a major mover
like
and
I
shaker.
Screwed them over.
You're a negotiator. You're a deal maker.
Yeah, what can I say? You know, okay. Like people don't argue with his face.
Oh, okay. Speaking of arguing with faces and that sort of thing, like, okay, like last week you explained the hashtag men are trash to me.
Yes.
And I think at first it was quite sad because of obviously where it came from.
Yeah.
With the death of the young lady.
Karabo, yes.
Yeah, Karabo. And that sort of thing. I want to steer away a little bit from that because... I don't think personally I'm qualified because I don't have enough information on that one. All I do know is at least they've arrested the suspect. I think he has already confessed.
Yeah, I think he has. I think he has.
Okay.
And may she rest in peace.
May she rest in peace. Yeah. This is like, I think we need a new hashtag, not in my name, that all men in South Africa just like go out and like, we stop shit from happening. You know what I mean?
That'd
like
be great.
We stop men from doing craziness.
Yeah.
So what we do is we go out there and we're like, dude, it's not gonna happen in our name anymore. You know what I mean? I think that's really important.
Because it just paints all men with such a negative brush. And I mean,
I think that there are a lot of really
great men.
Great men. But there are a lot of really bad men as well. And I think more than anything, instead of trying to fight each other as a sexist and say, no, you know, we're not all men. It's like, okay, ladies, we're hearing your plight. And also as men, we have decided that there are certain things that we're going to do just to be better men.
Yeah.
You know,
I agree, just
to take care of you. Because what are men supposed to do? We're supposed to protect. The two P's, I suppose, are important. Protect and provide, right?
Well, and, Steve
and
Harvey,
love.
Apparently, they're three P's.
Protect,
so
provide,
protect,
and love.
Provide, and profess.
Protect, provide, and profess.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Professional love me, baby.
Yeah, that's what we're supposed to do, you know, and I'm down with that. So, I don't know if I should lead into the segue
It's so funny because all I was thinking right now
like
was
so
how are you going to actually lead us there? Because I was like,
we're so positive right now.
I was like, yeah, you know, men should do better. They should be great providers. Anyway, talking about side chicks.
Yeah. Anyway, talking about side chicks. I hope my side chick is listening because we're going to be talking about side chicks.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, I'm listening. I'm all, yeah.
Okay. But first, before we go into that, I think we should talk about like things like, you know what, guys, let me give you a couple of tips, guys. It's not all about the money. You don't always have to have money when it comes to protect, provide, profess. No, we're going
to
get to the side chick stuff.
I'm sorry.
There's no way I would give you that advice. Like, you don't have to have money to have a side chick. That would just be craziness. Of course you have to have money to have a side chick. Everybody knows that. Come on. What am I, crazy?
That is true.
We're going to get to that later.
Okay,
let's rewind.
So men.
If you want to be the ultimate man, if you decided that now is the time that you want to be the opposite of the hashtag all men are trash.
Yes.
You want to be the exception to this.
And you
want to
have
thing.
That one beautiful woman.
You know what
committed
I'm saying?
To you.
And
yeah.
you want to do your best.
Yes.
Guys, there's ways to do this.
honestly.
Where you're not really spending money.
Yeah.
That's another show, though. Because today we're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about when you do have some money in your pocket.
They are.
Yeah, they are. When you do have some money in your pocket, though, take it to a nice place. Like a really nice place.
Yeah.
Like a nice, like a 7-star.
Holy crap.
You know.
I don't even think I've eaten at a 7-star.
Safari, you know, for the weekend. I'm going to pretend that that's what I did. I didn't do it. It wasn't me. Okay. Like she took me. I'm going to just say that up front. And then now that I've just said that disclaimer, I'm going to now take ownership of that and pretend that it was me.
Okay.
It was
okay,
me
okay.
who did it.
Yeah, yeah. You thought of it. I thought of it though.
Yeah, that's I did all think that about matters. It. Yeah. And I drove us there. I mean, at the end of the day, I need some credit for that.
How were you going to get there? Walk?
I mean, it wasn't even in my car. Let me just say that I didn't drive in my car. But I drove, damn it. It was like 4 hours. I had to concentrate.
That's quite a drive.
And I didn't complain.
Yeah, that's good.
I didn't complain once.
Well, you can't if she's paying for the 7-star.
Yeah, no, it's like...
like, pick your battles, damn it.
You know? Like, you got me driving for 4 hours so we can go to this damn 7-star safari and I'm the one driving. Like, I wish you would just, like, handle some of this weight. She's like, I wish you just handle this bill. Okay, you know what? It's fine.
You take the bill, I'll drive.
I'll drive.
I'll drive with a smile. Yeah. With a smile.
Driving Miss Daisy. But I said I was going to take ownership. I was going to pretend it was me,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes, yes.
So you got to take her out somewhere nice.
Yes,
you
I
know?
Agree.
And we went
and
to this
somewhere nice. Can I just state that it's different with different people.
Yeah, yeah,
like I
yeah.
mean, you know, you'll meet someone where somewhere nice is Doppio Zero, whereas you meet someone else somewhere nice is Jameli. Someone yeah. else a 7-star.
We're raising the bar.
You know,
at
I'm
Jameli.
Just saying. You
I
know,
haven't even
going.
Eaten at Jameli, by the way.
But you dropped me off there once. So
yeah,
I mean, that's
so
sort
you
of
can
like
go
eating
eat
there.
I felt like that friend. You know that friend that is used for stuff like because you were gonna go meet some guy there, weren't you? So it's like, no, don't worry, I'll drive you.
No,
he doesn't have to worry. I don't want him to get off the table because I'm sure he's very comfortable at Jameli. I'll drive you there, friend.
Something like that.
Yeah, so anyway, no, we went to this amazing place called Narina Lodge, Lion
oh, wow.
Sands Game Reserve in the Kruger.
Yes.
Listen, from the time you arrive, mm-hmm. okay, they treat you like you're a celebrity.
Oh my God.
So I was a bit confused because I was like, is it me or is this
is
like how they treat
I'm
everybody?
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I was like, it's because somebody's paying for this big deal. That's why.
Yeah, the smile comes with the money. Yeah.
So, you know. You get the whole star treatment. They obviously take your bags. I mean, that's the first thing.
Yes, yes.
And then you go through this amazing place that just sits. It's like right in the middle of the okay. Kruger, right?
Oh,
it
wow.
sits by the side of this amazing river. And it had been raining, so the river was
oh,
full.
My
it was
gosh.
Green. And you have your own suite.
Okay.
That's like a little house.
Oh, okay.
Your own little house that you yeah. go to. But you walk on this like... this raised walkway because okay. like this is wild, man. This is not like you're in some garden. This is like yeah. the garden of you could get chowed, you could get eaten. In fact, they advise you that if you're going to go to dinner when it's dark, you need to call someone to come pick you up from your room.
Okay.
Because something
so like
could
real.
Eat you.
It's
this is real.
Real.
You are
yeah.
in the bush, dude.
Yes, yes.
You know
yes.
what I mean?
Don't play around.
Don't play around. There's yeah. there's an armed guard.
Yeah.
You
don't
know?
Be fighting with people at dinner and think you're gonna march off to the room.
That's what we're talking about. Like, don't think you're just gonna have a fight in the room and be like, I'm out of here. I've had enough yeah. of this crap. I'm gonna just go and have a smoke. That was the
yeah.
last we heard of you. You know what I mean? And I was personally like, if you're gonna take somebody, like if your relationship is struggling,
don't take them there.
No, take them there.
Oh.
Take them there. Because either you're gonna fix your relationship because they're gonna be so impressed, you're gonna fix your relationship.
And they've got nowhere to go.
Yeah, or you can make it worse while you're there so that the person walks out and then they chow.
No.
And then what you do is you can like at that funeral, you can grieve, baby.
No.
You can cry, you can bawl your eyes out, you can feel free, you can wail.
That's terrible.
Because you knew what you did. So that's my
terrible.
Relationship advice. If you want, if you really want to make it better,
don't take that.
Go to Narina Lodge. You want to make it worse, go there too. I don't know.
Well, I don't know if you want to spend that much money. I'm just saying because it looked. You posted a couple of pictures and it looked amazing.
It looked. It
and
was
I was just kind of like you were trying to outdo me. That's what I felt. I was like,
oh, because
oh,
you went on a whole 8-day trip. Like
I did, and then
during
I,
the week.
Yeah. That's what we
and
do.
And it wasn't even like December time. It was like in the middle of the year. Like who goes out for a whole week? In the middle of the year. You got to be balling to do that.
Apparently I
yeah.
do.
And not for just like 6 days, for 8 days. Like that's such a random number. I don't even know how that works because you missed last week Monday and then now you're coming back to work on Tuesday. What? Who? Yeah.
Who are you, woman?
Yeah,
who are you? I hear you, but I just felt like you were trying to outdo me just a little.
I have to. You know, I have to remind you that...
Who's the real?
No.
Who's the real
Tulevia? That's not why I did it.
But just a little.
I was just fortunate. I got blessed. I'm just thankful. I'm grateful. You know, God is good. Jesus is my blesser. And so is the person who took me.
Yeah, I was like, Jesus didn't pay the bill though. But okay.
Yeah, I want to be on time. Well, let Jesus come and pick up his tab.
Okay? You'd still be there right now.
I'm waiting on.
I'm waiting.
Did you say it was? Okay, so what if we don't eat this weekend?
Can we do down payments?
Yeah.
Can we pay installments?
Because we're parked, like, you know, in the parking. So what if we just stay in the parking and then just come out for meals and to use your bathroom?
Oh, my that? Gosh. No, I can't. But it looked amazing. It looked absolutely amazing.
And I must thank VW for lending me the brand new GTI. That was a really bad idea because I drove that as fast as I could. Because, you know.
Oh, my gosh. The vrpa.
It really is a vrpa. When you press it, it goes vrpa.
You know, like, for our listeners who don't know what a vrpa is, it's like a meme, guys. So it's like a meme of like how a woman will leave you for a man with a vrpa.
Dude.
And because the.
A red vrpa.
A red one, even.
Listen.
Tell me, how was the drive? I'm such a car person.
It is super comfortable. It is super fast. It's got a great sound system, which is important to me.
That's amazing.
You know, so we just played hip hop. SA hip hop, so it was like Kusheshe, Kusheshe the whole way
there. Karakara.
Karakara, KO,
All Eyes on Me.
AKA, they were with us in the car.
Yes.
We took the squad, Abom Brepa, with us.
Yes.
You know, so that was an awesome drive. It was like I really didn't feel tired at all. I've realized something.
That's amazing, though. That's a good car, then.
It's not about, you know, when people say a car is about from point A to B.
No.
That's crap. Mm-mm. No, guys, I can't do that. No, mm-mm. I'm not about point
A
to B.
Look, all of us want to get to B, obviously. But I'd really like to get there comfortably. I don't want to get there struggling. My calves are sore and spasming.
Because you know
my
what?
My arms are like sore from rolling down. No.
I have to be honest. Lately, I, you know, my car went in for repairs.
Yes.
It's been sad because, you know, I realized my insurance at the time, the people who were handling it, they took off my car hire, which is really sad.
Damn.
For the first time in my life, I'm struggling, you know, with that concept.
With transportation.
Because it's like, but why?
Why would there be no car?
Why would there be no car?
Why do you hate me so much?
You showed me, like, I was paying the premium under the impression. Why do you hate me so much? Exactly.
What did I do?
So I'm driving an Uber. My sister has an Uber. She has a Toyota Corolla.
Okay.
And it's tough, guys. I understand your plight.
Is it
the kind of car that you have.
Because like people keep looking at you like you're their Uber driver, or is it because
there've been
like,
times when I've stopped next to people and they thought, "Is this our Uber?" And I was like, "Dude, really?
I'm
you think
I'd
be driving? You know what I mean? Like, come on."
Life has not hit me that hard.
But apart from that, it's like I realize, like, you know, changing all the gears,
and
then the steering wheel goes to one side,
it does?
And then there's no Bluetooth, so I have to like wear earphones, and then it's like. There's no steering wheel control thingies.
They say biggest car chooses, but it's so hard.
It's so hard, it's so dude. Hard. You know, because it's like totally unsafe. It's unsafe for the other people on the road who share it with me. Because like,
it's
I do stuff
you're
in my car.
Spoiled driver. That's the
I am. I eat breakfast in my car.
Not.
So now I'm like, I'm not holding on to the steering wheel because I'm like, dude, this needs a fork. What do you expect? And I have to hold it. Okay, I have to hold the plate while I eat. And I can't do it in this car and change gears and all that. And also speak on the phone while I'm doing it.
Yeah, people at home, he's joking. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
I mean, especially if you're a part of the JMPD.
Yeah, don't
joking.
Do that.
So the vrpa really helped because I got there.
You felt the luxury again.
You don't feel tired. You know when you drive a
That's
car
so
that you
important.
Have to negotiate every time you want to get around another driver, when you want to overtake and you know this truck is like messing with you. It's you end up getting tired because your mind is thinking too many thoughts.
Too much. Like, now I need to stand here, do
now
this.
Now I need to stop here. Okay, I'm going to overtake in like 10 minutes. So I need to now change
start
down.
Start planning.
Yeah. No, with that, it's like no negotiation. I'm going around.
Okay,
so
that's
that was
important.
Awesome.
That's important. But like, what are your favorite cars? I mean, we've been talking about, because like, I mean, now you've just completely destroyed the poor Uber. So like, what are some of your favorite cars to drive?
My favorite cars to drive? I love driving Porsches.
Is it?
It's quite an enjoyable car.
Which one?
The 911.
Okay.
And the Cayman.
Okay. So the smaller ones.
The sports ones.
The sports ones, yeah. Not the family sedan.
I really enjoy driving Range Rovers.
Okay.
Okay. I like BMWs. I'm sorry to say this because that's so obvious, right? But I really love BMWs. My favorite car to drive is a BMW.
Me too.
I'm sorry.
Me
I'm
too.
Sorry.
It's so black.
It's so black. It's so obvious. It's like, okay, no guessing right there, right? This guy
like,
he likes BMW.
Could you be
okay.
more stereotypical?
I think I've only ever owned really, you know, BMWs for the most part, you know, odd range here and there, but that's about it, eh?
No, but
I've tried the others.
Have you tried the Audi,
like,
Mercedes?
Listen, Audi, Mercedes.
Yeah.
Like, do yourselves a favor. Give me a car that you think can outdo my BMW. And I will say the same thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I've driven those cars.
Yeah.
Make no mistake, I've even taken them on the track.
Yeah.
I've driven the CLS 63, the C63. I've driven the Audi RS5 and the
yes,
S5 and,
okay.
and all those. They're awesome cars. Yeah. Really amazing. I mean, Audi, the interior of an Audi, there's nothing
better.
There's nothing better.
Yeah.
I could eat in that car and live in that car and make love in that car. But I don't know. There's just something about the drive that's like lackluster, you know? It's sort of like it's... Yeah, I'm going to go fast, but I'm not going to enjoy it.
No, man. I maybe it's just personal preference. Like, because I'm a BMW girl all the way. I've driven all these cars and I'm
BMW. You've got a black problem.
Yeah, I'm so black like that. And I think I blame my mother because my mother's always been a BMW person growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was very fortunate to be able to drive BMW as I was getting into my driving years.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, we'd switch up, you know? Like, and then you date a couple of people who let you drive their cars. And then you're like,
I'm
back. Still prefer my, like,
you know what I mean?
The comfort is like they honestly live up to sheer driving pleasure.
The driving is amazing. Like, there's no better car to drive.
Nothing.
If you're gonna drive
you,
that
you
car.
Don't feel it. It's so easy. It's your back is always comfortable.
Look, Audi drivers will say that it's easier to drive, but what we mean by that is that
you
can feel the drive. It makes you even think you're a better driver than you actually are.
And you don't have to think 10 seconds before you get into a lane.
You know what I mean?
You just get into the lane.
I think that's why people hate BMW drivers. Because we do things that other car drivers are like, that's just crazy.
But this is normal.
This is normal for us. It's like, this is how this car wants to be driven.
I feel like such a snob.
I remember one time I was driving to Polokwane and I was caught, you know, and rightly so, for driving over the speed limit.
And you didn't
those
even
guys hide behind the bushes. And I offered them, I said, listen, here, take the keys, you drive it. You tell me if you can keep to 120. You tell me, you try it. See how that feels for like 2 hours. It doesn't feel right in this kind of car, you know?
It doesn't. And I hate to say it, like, it's just the it's so funny because I used to complain, right? Because I went from like driving the sports coupe version of the BMW, the 325 or something.
Mm.
And then like we went into the sedan and I was like, fuck, I hate sedan. I would curse out that car.
Mm.
Yet when I drove a Mercedes, I was like, nah, take me back to the sedan.
I want to go back to my sedan.
I'll take the sedan.
But you have like a 320. Is like a really awesome car to drive.
Yeah.
And it's like,
it's
got, it doesn't have as much power as the bigger ones, but it feels right.
It feels
you
good.
Because, you know, it's got 50-50 weight balance.
Yeah, it's good.
The car just shrinks around you. It feels
good,
smaller than it actually is. It's amazing. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry to be.
So we are clearly not biased. And
no,
guys, can I just say.
But I'm offering any
it
other
would
car
be amazing
to prove me wrong.
If BMW would like to sponsor us, because clearly we're such fans and we're not even being paid for this.
They're a sponsor because they're like, listen, we know you darkies love this car and you're going to buy it anyway. Why must we sponsor any of you?
We just do it, eh? BMW is great.
Let's get to the main part of the show because this is where it really gets interesting. Like we're saying, a lot of things
Woo!
Happened last week. I didn't understand the depth of what was going on until my sister's got a WhatsApp group. Because you know, black girls, y'all got WhatsApp groups for days. And they literally have like a side chick who is doing what with a side chick WhatsApp group, right?
You need to know. You need to be ahead of the game.
And she
ahead of the curve.
On what exactly was happening. She like filled in all the blanks.
So school us on what you have discovered.
I have discovered that the start of this whole rob, because now we're going to talk about our new Minister of Finance and his domestic issues.
They call him future president.
We know that we're all talking about it, okay? So, yeah, we're not trying to scandalize anybody, but this is what's going
on.
It's
in the
news.
What's
up?
If you've got Google, you're good.
So, apparently, like, I saw just a portion of that interview when his wife was talking about, and I thought it was an outrage, where she was like, and, you know, when Malusi was at Home Affairs, I was making passports every other night. And immediately I was like, that's where you just call the wife and say, baby, please don't.
And this time her phone is on silent.
You know what I mean? And you're just like, this is a live interview and it's just getting worse and worse and worse.
Yeah.
But then there was a part two, apparently.
Okay.
And I didn't get the whole story because I didn't see it.
Okay.
And I got it from a third person. But apparently that's when she went into the ex-side chick. Is there an ex-side chick?
Not the ex. Well, the the current sort of ex-side chick.
But I thought it was over.
Boutlem Kize. It is over. But I mean, she's still disgusted because, I mean, I think a couple of years ago, it could have been last year, but in my memory, it's a couple of years ago, where Boutlem Kize had come out.
Yes.
And, you know, she had been revealed. She had been revealed as being the side chick to Malusi Gigaba, right?
Who revealed her?
I think she either got revealed, she revealed herself, or...
Was it the newspapers?
Oh, no. I think it was because her and Norma Gigaba started having like a bickering fight or something.
Didn't they have a bickering fight on social media?
Yes.
Like straight up.
Instagram.
Like,
less Instagram.
Yeah, like why not just send a WhatsApp?
Right, while apparently she kept on getting blocked and stuff. So, as you do. And yeah. And then so there was that fight. So we knew about her. And then all of a sudden, I think in this interview that Norma Gigaba did, she threw shade at Boutlem Kize, saying that, oh, well, she doesn't have time to talk about prostitutes or something. And Boutlem Kize was like,
oh, hold up. So what? The interviewer asked Norma about Boutlem.
Or about the side chick thing. I don't recall question was.
Like, didn't she see that she was being baited right there and then? She could have said, you know what?
I don't want to get into it.
Yeah, leave it there.
No, she was just like, I don't have time to be discussing prostitutes or something along those lines. And then Boutlem Kize said, oh, you want to call me a prostitute? Well, I've got a 10-point presentation for the world.
Oh, man. But can we just like, okay, Boutlem, sure. You know, like, she's the wife. She's going to say stuff that's going to be like throwing shade. That's what you sign up for when you're a side chick. That the wife, when she refers to you, she's going to say things.
She's going to call you stuff.
She's going to call you stuff, right? She's going to call out your name. She's going to call you name. She's gonna resort
call you
to
out
that.
Of your name.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Because you did sleep with her husband. Okay. Like, you started this.
But that brings me to this, which is like the hypocrisy. I love this. Chris Rock coined it and I love it. The hypocrisy of our democracy. Now, this is what I don't get. Like, the one thing that I've always subscribe to. I mean, I don't condone the whole side chick phenomenon or whatever, but it's always been there, but I don't condone it.
Mm-hmm.
But what I don't understand is why society is so quick to jump on the woman and call the woman, like society as a whole, calls the woman out of her name when she did not make a vow in front of any religious power, when she did not sign a contract to be faithful to anyone. Yet society always puts the blame on her. And then the man gets away like, oh, well, you know, another one bites the dust.
I hate that.
Like, I'm like, what the fuck? You know, like when are we going to get on this train?
You are really in just, hate
it,
of
it
this.
Gets,
you are
it, gets,
angry.
It gets on my nerves.
Okay.
Like, I don't think what you did is okay, but I also don't think, like, Malusi should be...
Oh, so what you're saying is we shouldn't not call out the side chick, but we should also call out the guy. For having a side chick.
Yes.
Or start with the guy.
One.
Let's start with the man.
Start with the guy. Start with the guy because it's his responsibility to stay faithful in his marriage. It's not the woman's responsibility to stay faithful in their marriage.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
So, it's not the third woman.
It's not, it's not any third party. The third party can't be to blame because one of the partners is in a
blame.
Union.
Like, you knew going into this that
you
there
know
was
when,
a union.
No, you know when I blame the third party? If you've been close to the situation at hand.
Oh, okay.
Like, you were a family friend. You knew I was in the picture. You know me by name. And you still come in my
and you
home.
Knew we were going through some
gosh,
we were going through some challenges and then you were like
capitalize baby,
come cry on my shoulder.
No that's when I really have a problem. But if she's coming from like wherever the house she's
like
coming,
they just met,
she don't know you
at meat lounge.
Can I tell you, T, I've had a couple of situations where I've been proposed to be a side chick. Does that make sense?
Yeah, someone proposed for you to be a side chick.
Prepositioned
You've been prepositioned.
So I'm going to discuss the one incident, right? I was this guy, very well known, very successful, life was good. I'm not about to get into the Sunday sun now. And I trusted him because, I mean, of his credentials. I was like, there's no flipping ways this guy's going to try and put his life on the line for some potential fling.
No, I don't understand. What did you trust?
So, like, because of my story of forgiveness and stuff, he reached out to me and he's like, you know,
First you thought it was just
I want to have you on my show, you know, I want to help you with
the...
Like,
on your show.
Yo!
He's in TV, guys.
He's somewhere in media.
Or it could be in radio.
Somewhere. And he was like, you know, I want to help you with your book and blah, blah, blah. I've got connect money.
Yeah.
So I Googled him and I was like, okay, you know, and he's got a good enough, respectable persona for me to like misjudge him. And I get into this, I think like on our third meeting, and these were real meetings. Like I was coming with my laptop, notebooks, everything. Yeah, like these weren't like...
You're taking notes. Then.
Yeah, these weren't like cute meetings. Like we're going to sit and talk about my life for an hour.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, he's like, okay, let's go for a walk. I'm like, nah. Okay, maybe because I was also getting tired of the writing and stuff.
So yeah,
like,
where were you? In the mall situation? Or
no, it was like it had like
a garden
restaurant. Set up.
Nice.
Like one of those restaurants with a garden thing. So anyway...
Who was paying the bill up to now?
He was.
All the time?
All the time.
And at no point did you think...
Because
you know
I was only having coffee. Like,
oh,
it wasn't like I was like eating up. Yeah, like I was having coffee.
There were no three course meals.
No.
Okay. All right.
No three course.
You weren't ordering from the main.
No, because I knew it wasn't a date, and I wanted to.
You didn't go to the SQ section of the menu.
Nothing.
Okay. No, it's cool. Okay. Got that. It's important.
It is important
for
to
this
know.
Narrative.
Next okay. thing you know, fast forward the story. This guy basically like corners me while we're walking on the ground. I'm like, what the hell's happening?
Corners you how?
He stands in front of me while we're walking. So I'm like,
so okay, he blocks your path.
He blocks my path. So I'm like,
yeah,
what the hell's happening?
You can't go back. You can't go
yeah,
forward.
Like I'm like, what's happening? Mm. He's like, you know, we've been hanging out a couple of times now, and you know, I've got a wife and a couple of kids. He didn't say a couple of kids. He said the number, and then he was
okay.
Yeah. And then he was
more
like,
than three, less than five.
Less than five.
More than three. Okay. No.
More than two, less than five. And so then he was like, but you know, I still want to have you in my life, and I think I could provide a lot of resources
wow.
for you if you would be a part of this. And I know it's not easy because I'm a lot older. In my head, I'm like, age is the last thing you should be worried about. Number one, it's like, this was a business. And then I was like, I didn't even know this is how side chicks get approached. I thought you were just going to like try and lie that you weren't married. And then, you know, I figure it out down the line. And then I was like, first, I'm not attracted to you. I wouldn't want to be your side chick. And then I was like, and I don't want to take your kid's schooling fund. Like, what the hell? Like, you know,
I'm glad that you brought that first part up. That, so firstly, I'm not attracted to you.
No.
And then let me tell you
No. That was second.
Okay. All right. Because here's my thing, right? I think where you went wrong and
where I went
look,
wrong.
Look, I'm not in any way judging anyone. I'm not trying to say that side chicks are cool. But if it was me, I wouldn't have started with, by the way, I'm married. Because this is like a proposal that's got nothing to do with what we're about to do here. You see, if you're going to get someone to want to be in any way a romantic with you, then you must come with a romantic proposition first.
Okay.
So say something like, you know what, Candace, I've been thinking for a long time, and I'm sorry if I'm out of line for this. And we've had a couple of meetings, and I was very serious about those meetings.
Yeah.
I just feel like, for me, I would like things to move in a different direction because I really like you as a human being, and I'd like to get to know you better, but in a different way.
You've clearly done this pitch before. Good for you, T.
No,
I'm like,
I haven't done this. I'm
like,
just doing it on the
good.
Fly.
I'm
just
wow.
like, I'm a good communicator. What the hell?
Communicate.
Why I gotta be burnt just because I'm a good communicator? Okay? So that's what I would suggest.
Okay, okay.
You know,
okay.
Let the woman understand that what you're looking for here is based on who she is and your attraction to her.
Yeah.
Don't start with the whole schlep about, you know, I'm married, I got like five kids, but I'm thinking like I wanna tap that ass. Like, don't do that.
Oh,
don't do that to yourself.
Gosh.
You know what I mean?
It's terrible. It's hard out here for a single woman.
Yeah,
it's really
hard.
It's
getting harder every year.
Well, it does, because then there's that.
In this economy, especially now that we're junk status.
Well, then there's that situation.
Yeah.
And then there's situations where a guy won't tell you. Mm. Like, you genuinely don't know that this man is in any sort of commitment.
Because not everyone puts their family on the
Facebook
cover of Drum
or
magazine.
Instagram.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I understand.
Or like, you know, they're not exactly on social media. So it's not like when you Google them, you can be like, oh, wife, kids, whatever, or girlfriend, whatever.
I recommend this. Always have your significant other on your WhatsApp, like, profile picture. So we know, like, starting, if you're married and have children, have your wife and your children right there.
Oh no.
So
oh,
people
no.
know immediately.
No. I've had guys hit on me with their family on their profile picture. I'm like, what the fuck, dude?
My thing is like that, I'm not saying that's right or wrong.
You just
but the guy gave
you
ample warning.
At least you know.
Yeah, like when I hit on you, we don't have to even discuss that.
At
like,
least you know.
You know what the deal is. I don't have to start my proposition with, as you know, I'm married with three kids. No, it's like you saw the WhatsApp profile pic, right? You saw
know.
I even changed it.
You know.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the thing.
Even had a little comment underneath
it's
it.
It's so funny.
My joy, my life.
My
everything.
Yeah, it's like you know these people.
Yeah.
But it's so funny.
I know one or two.
We were talking in studio on the other side with the whole team and everything about the side chick thing. And someone actually said, I'm not going to name them. They were like, actually, I'm not opposed to side chicks anymore. She was like, she's like, the sooner we accept it, the sooner we can learn how to prevent side chicks in our unions and in our relationships.
Okay.
Then the guy in the studio was actually saying he thinks the reason side chicks can prevail is because women get too comfortable in a relationship sometimes.
Okay.
And I was like, bitch. Excuse me?
Excuse
and
me.
And then excuse you.
Like, come on.
Excuse you.
Yeah.
And then he was like, no, like this whole notion of like your man should become your best friend makes women like start telling men shit that men should not know about you. Like, it's like, no, boo, keep
all
your best friend. Keep your best friend.
Yeah. Yeah.
And let me just be an accompaniment to your life.
Okay.
So I don't know.
Look, I'm going to say this. I don't know. Because let's start with I'm gonna get to the serious stuff after. I want us to get this, but right now,
let's get the other stuff out of the way.
What we have learned out of all of this? What have we learned from our intrepid Minister of Finance, from the six lessons of having side chicory? Okay,
side chicory.
Let's do that. I'm gonna let you start first.
Well, I only came up with three, but mine...
Yeah, I have three.
I feel like yours should actually start, because mine are more counter side chicory. So I feel like
What makes you think that mine are not counter?
No.
Okay, well, here's the first one. The first one is this, okay? If you're gonna have a side chick...
If you're gonna do it. Yeah.
And you've already, you know, you're in it, make sure that you don't tell her everything. Okay, she's not your counselor or your psychologist or your therapist. She is there for one purpose, or maybe two, I don't know. And those two purposes only. But telling her about what happens at work, secret stuff that you probably shouldn't even tell your wife, and then telling her about your wife, bad idea. Because when it comes to an end, you're gonna know about it.
You see, and that's where my one comes in, which is what time spent, emotion grows. So be careful how you're spending your time.
Wow, you really like, I mean, this is the whole thing. Okay, with time spent, emotion grows. Emotion put it in such a much better way.
You know, that was my first one, to be like, look, dude, protect yourself. Because, I mean, if you're going to have that situation going on.
Protect yourself in all ways.
You need to.
Wear a rubber.
That too.
Yeah.
But, because you don't want to be spreading your wild oats here. But if you're going to be spending time with someone, understand that because she's going to be the one that's smiling, she's going to be the one that, you know, she's not going to hassle you about her day. It's always about you.
So
don't get comfortable in that space and be like, you know what, you listen, Susie.
She understands, man. You tell her stuff. You tell her, you know, it was a hard day at work today. I mean, I don't understand, because I've been doing this radio show with Candace for a couple of years now. And then she behaved like kind of weird. I don't know if she was like fully prepared and stuff. And then she'd be like, you know what, babe, I guess that's just how she is. You know, you're right. Maybe you should look
it's
somewhere.
It's not about blah, blah.
You know, your wife might say something like, yeah, but now you're sometimes late and whatever. You know, I know.
She gives you the bad ish. Like,
yeah. And you're like,
excuse me, this is not about me. Yeah, why are you making it about me?
And you know, sometimes you could just like be more of a leader and like be an example.
Maybe if you were prepared, she would have been.
You know what I mean? And you're like, let me just go tell my side chick.
Yeah. And then your side chick is a bit more understanding, but that's the problem with that.
Like,
the more time you spend with her, the more you start to think that it's better than what you have. You see, so then you start drawing direct comparisons and you're like, damn, but she's better at this and that's how you end up blabbing your whole damn life to her.
Okay
so number two,
do you want to give us the heading or should I just pretend that we're going to have different things to say?
Okay, no, you talk and then I'll tell you if mine, like, you know, correlate with yours or counter yours in anyway.
Don't give up on 80% for a 20% thing.
Oh, I love that.
So in other words,
I love that.
Everybody who's in a relationship, I have to warn you, it's not going to be perfect. I mean, trust me, I've done this a couple of times. I've been married once or twice.
You're kind of a pro.
And I've realized one thing. You're always going to have problems with whoever you're with. It's like, it's going to get to a point where you're like, this chick is crazy.
Okay? We all are.
And they all are. Really, they really are.
We really, really are. Like, I'm not going to try and pretend
So here's the thing, right? Everyone's going to make you suffer. Everybody. Whoever you're with. She's going to start out amazing. She's going to be like so understanding, so awesome, so everything. And then 10 years into it, 5 years into it, she's going to make you suffer. Just be okay that this is the one I'm prepared to suffer for.
Yeah.
Which means that 20% that you're missing, you're never going to get.
Yeah.
Fill it with hobbies, your children, your church life, your family, your job, whatever you have to fill it with. But don't go and find another person who's going to offer you the 20%. Because trust me, there are a lot of people who the 20% is going to look amazing.
The 20% looks like gold.
When you're missing 20%, you want that 20%. So what happens is, you go and you settle for the 20%. And now you start thinking,
this is better than the 80%
I've ever wanted. Mm-hmm. Because my wife is so great. She's a great cook. She's a great wife in every way. You know, she loves my family. She's good with the kids. She understands. She's supportive. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But there are times when she's just a little bit crazy or something like that.
Yeah,
or something
even
smaller than that.
Whatever.
That just sometimes when she's tired on a Friday night and orders pizza.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Whatever it is.
And then this chick, every Friday night, she cooks a full 3-course meal. She only has to cook for you one night.
Exactly, exactly. I love that.
So no, that's my
80-20,
point.
80-20, I love that. I love that. And that was also a principle in Hitch, I think.
Is it?
Where he said, you know, pick someone who fulfills 80% of your life.
Yeah.
And then, like you were saying, you know, like the other 20% is always going to look good. Yeah. Every human being is always going to be presented with 20%.
Yeah.
You know, don't think your wife, when she gets out there, there's not some guy giving her the 20%.
Giving her the 20%, right?
Like, oh man, you know, this is the life I could give you.
Yeah.
Everyone looks great when you're not with them. Let's be honest. Everyone is amazing when you're not with them.
Yeah, you didn't have to wake up with her. Like, now she's all made up and she's looking amazing. When she woke up, she was a different human being. She did not wake up like this.
That's why I try and show my true self as early as possible.
Oh, really? Like, second date, you didn't wear any makeup.
I'm like,
you could have showered, Candy. Okay.
Fuck, I was about to give away some stuff about my personal life. But
go ahead.
It's so funny. The one thing I never show people mostly is my crazy hair, because I've got such crazy hair.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so like I decided.
I really do wonder what it looks like when it's not all done up and blah blah blah.
It's a different beast.
Is it?
And I showed like the person who's interested in me right now. I pretty much showed them quite early. I was like, "This is it, man. I pitched no makeup, no hair. Like it was literally just like." And bless his heart for pretending like it was normal. In my head, I was like, I look crazy right now.
And he's like, in that old tracksuit.
Yeah.
With the spaghetti mark.
No. My clothes are always impeccable. I love clothes, but this sometimes does not work. Okay. So I had to show him early.
All right.
And good. Maybe that's why he's.
You had a point though. Point number two. What was your point?
So my point number two is the worst thing about a side chick, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that actually destroys the person in the relationship
mm-hmm.
is that everybody knows except you. Like it's always the funniest thing that
who's most you?
You being the person cheated on.
Oh,
right? So
okay.
It's that song, the whole town's laughing at me.
Yeah.
Like, everybody no but that's a different
such a good thing not
yes,
that one
yes well it's that one
not the TP
but
one.
I only just wanted the beginning.
Oh, the whole town's laughing at me.
Exactly.
Just leave it you there. Know
and yes mm-hmm. And that's the problem with infidelity. Like everyone knows you're being cheated on except you. You're busy bragging about your man to your friends, and if the friend is like, yeah girl, he brought me the same flowers last week, and you're like,
yeah,
oh. Yeah. And that's what destroys you. So yeah. I think, so that's my second point.
Shameful. I'm ashamed.
Oh.
I'm ashamed. You know? Like, I have to confess that, you know, I've been down that road and there's no winning. There's no winning in it.
No.
There's no winning in it. And
everyone
I'm sorry for what
hurt.
I did, you know?
Everyone ends up hurt.
I'm really honestly just like, I'm remorseful.
That's important, man.
Yeah, and I will do better in the future. Yeah. Okay, having said that.
Okay, so yes, your third point.
Now we're having fun. My goodness, doesn't have to always get so serious. Disclaimer. Really, the last one is this.
Okay.
If you're going to have a side chick.
Yes.
Make sure you have a whole department to manage the side chick issues that come with it. That means you have a finance department, a transport department, as well as a PR department.
Exactly.
Okay, as well as day-to-day management of the side chick department. Because really, if you were honest with yourself, if you were putting all of that effort into your marriage in the first place, you'd probably be okay.
Yeah.
All right, because at some point, let's be honest, we just get tired of like the effort, because it gets hard. It's like working out. I've realized about working out.
Yeah,
you work out in the first couple of months, you're like, it's gonna get better.
Yeah,
and six
and
months
you put
later,
your all into it.
It's like I still ache every day. A year later, you're like, yo, I mean, the gains that I'm getting from all this working out are far less than before, right?
Or like you start, you know, I feel like you're right. People either approach relationships in one of two ways, which is the same as working out. You either approach your relationship in the first way, which says, wow, okay, so I'm making gains. So I'm going to actually start improving because I'm realizing that I'm stagnating. So I'm do even more so that, or switch it up because I can
switch
really,
it up.
Switch it up,
I like
because
that.
That's
switch
how you're going to, that's how you're going to gain results again, you know, because your body's now used to it. Or they can approach it by, you know, fuck it. I'm not getting any gains. I'm not
going
getting
back
definition.
To the couch.
Or I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing.
Okay.
Or I'm just going to stop doing this.
Yeah.
You know, so
I want to do what I'm doing and then complain about it every day. Like,
exactly.
No reason, you know, I tried this and, you know, it's not even responding. She's not even responding.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, okay.
Like, you know, so I like that. So you got to switch it up. In any relationship, if you stop switching it up, you bound to fail. It is going to fail because, I mean, I think with a relationship, it's easy to get comfortable, right? Because all the glitter starts
to disappear.
But isn't
that what we all want?
You want comfort to a certain degree, T, but you don't want comfort that, because I feel like comfort is actually the enemy of growth. And that's in relationships, that's in life, that's in career, everything. As soon as you're too comfortable, that's when you stop growing.
Here's the thing then. I think what you just said there is really important. We just got to put it out there. Because that's why I said we all want comfort, right? Why do we get married? Because at the end of the day, it's like, you know, this thing of, I must
being
always be at my best, be out in these streets, coming up with a new restaurant. Sometimes I just want to chill at home and just be on the couch eating McDonald's with you. The fact of the matter is there will be those days, but never assume that once you've married someone, it's about being comfortable. It's about always getting better. And actually what I've realized as well is comfort is the enemy of greatness. In fact, comfort kills.
Yes.
I nearly died from being too comfortable because you just get to a point where you don't try as hard and you're just okay with the day-to-day mundane. And if you're not, we're like sharks. We have to actually understand we're more like sharks than humans. Sharks, if they stop swimming, they die.
They die. Mm-hmm.
Humans, if they stop growing, they die. You're either growing or dying. There's no middle ground. There's no, you know, we're comfortable now. Yes. We got our nice house in the estate. We got our two cars. So everything's going to stay this way. No, it's either, you're always trying to improve, get another car, and I'm not saying you must be greedy, but I'm just saying, like, always look to make things better.
No, you need to keep growing.
So think of yourself as, growing. I am going to be I'm trying to be a better man all the time. For you, I'm trying to be a better husband. I'm trying to be a better father. I'm trying to be a better at my business, at what I do. I'm trying to get better. I'm trying to get in better shape all the time. And that's only when you can start being happy.
But that's also how you should choose your life partner, right? Because sometimes I feel like when it comes to the heart, we're not as conscious as when it comes to your career. When it comes to your career, you're very concise about how you're going to choose your career path. When it comes to your partner, you're just haphazard. You're like, you see
but
the body,
sweet.
You see the physique, you see whatever.
And she's hot right now. And yeah, she's
exactly,
a bit lazy.
you like wipe out everything that you would in a normal situation, whereby you're like, no, I'm not accepting this. So, I mean, as you choose your partner, you need to choose someone who makes you already in their presence, you want to grow.
Who challenges you as well.
Who challenges you.
And also because they're also challenging themselves, right? Because there's nothing worse than someone who's from the couch is like, and while they're eating like chips and drinking beer.
Have similar interests.
Oh, you only ran 6Ks today. Okay. Well, you know, maybe you should run 8.
Precisely.
And you're like, but all you do is sit on the couch.
Precisely. So you need someone who challenges you, someone who challenges themselves. You guys need to constantly be growing together or else it's not going to work. Yeah. But it brings me to actually my third point.
Which is the sixth point.
Yes, which is actually the sixth point in collective. Yeah. And this is actually very important because I learned this lesson, I think it was last year. I was watching T.D. Jakes and Steve Harvey have a conversation. Mm-hmm. And this actually changed the narrative of how I view men in relationships.
Okay.
Like, it completely changed my life.
While you were watching Steve Harvey and T.D.
Jakes. Wisdom galore. So I was actually, like, it changed the way I view relationships, period. Okay. So this is what T.D. Jakes said to one of the women who was in studio and asked him a question. He said, trust means different things to a man and a woman. So when a woman, when either
you don't
want to
miss this. Hang on a sec. You don't want to miss this. This is the time when you turn it up in the car now.
Turn it up, people. So when a woman says to a man, I trust you, she refers to fidelity. She's like, I trust that you're not going to sleep around. You're not going to cheat on me, blah, blah, blah. Mm. So that's how we view trust. And I sat back and I was like, that's true. That's true.
The one thing you're most likely to do.
Yeah. When I say I trust you, that's the only thing I'm thinking of.
I don't mean I trust you with my money. I don't mean that I trust that you make the right decisions with where we're going to live, where we're going to send the kids to school. I don't know. You're probably going to come up with some whack idea that the kids should be schooled by hippies. I don't know.
Yeah, you know what? Whatever. Like, the rest of it is like, we'll figure it out. But that is what a woman means, fidelity. Okay. When a man says, I trust you, he says, I'm trusting you with my heart. And what that means is, I'm going to tell you my deepest, darkest secrets. I'm going to open myself up to you.
Yeah.
And he's like, and the worst thing a woman can do to a man is if he confided in you in a moment of, like, you know, intimacy or where he was opening up his heart to you and said, I trust you.
Oh,
and you bring that up in a fight. He's like, it's game over. He's like, for you to get that man back is actually almost impossible because a man shuts down completely.
Was TD in... living
right at, so I was like and I thought living? About it and oh. I thought about it just in relation to my brothers. I mean, they men, and obviously we've got a different relationship. I'm their sister, but I mean, I've realized how it breaks my brothers if they become vulnerable and you bring that up in any sort of environment that is not conducive to a trusting environment. They shut down.
You
and
will
it
never
takes
get them
time.
To talk again.
It takes them time. And I think for me, because I'm their sister, it's like, you know, well. You know,
they don't really tell you everything anyway.
Exactly. But I mean, I looked at it and I was like, oh my goodness, that's exactly it. Why are men scared to commit to one woman? Why are men scared of monogamy? Why? Because they're thinking, if I trust you with my heart, are you going to keep it safe?
Man.
You know, and I was like, damn, shut it down.
Shut it That's down. It. I mean, drops That's mic it. Right there. We walk away. Here's my thing, though. I mean, That's what you're it. Saying right now, right? I believe that those two go hand in hand.
Yeah.
So if you, as a man, make your woman feel like you can be trusted.
Yes.
Sexually outside, you know, with being faithful, yeah. and emotionally, so you're not going to have like yeah. all these people. You just they're just she's just my friend, and I just like I was talking to her about you talk, you bring everything home, because a woman kind of wants to feel that there's no one else you're talking to about everything, yes. right? Because a woman wants you to actually be vulnerable with
that her, connection,
right?
Yes,
not I speak to my
vulnerability,
friend,
yes.
Nothing
is sexier than vulnerability,
about, yeah, you know what I mean?
Nothing.
But at the same time, a man needs to know that this woman can be trusted with that vulnerability, and the yeah. circle continues. So what happens is everyone trusts each other more, right? Because the more you are vulnerable, I suppose, with your woman, the less you actually really need other. To talk to anyone else. And you need to get you need to find yourself entangled in a sexual relationship outside of home. Because let's
because
be honest,
it's a lack. It's
they don't
a lack.
All start with just a hoe, and you just like want to sleep with everything
yeah.
that walks.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just feel like there's something I'm not getting at home, which is usually I can't be vulnerable about this one. I can't say to you, yeah. you know, babe, I struggle with this and that, and I just need you to sometimes just hear me out and just say, oh, okay, you know, I want to be gentle with you on that one.
Mm.
Okay, you struggle with work, and sometimes you don't want to go and stuff. You know, think of it this way. You're not just doing it for you. You're doing it for us. So even when you're there and you're struggling, think that you're not struggling just to earn a paycheck. You're yes. struggling to keep your family moving in the right direction.
I love that.
And that will solve so many problems at home. And if you do that, I suppose, then you don't have to speak to Susie about it.
Exactly. And I think there's a video I watched recently. It's by Steven Sinek. And he was basically talking about love, when a woman falls in love with a man. Okay. And he was like, a woman doesn't fall in love with the moment you brought her roses. Or she doesn't fall in love with that expensive restaurant you took her to, or that vacation, or that car, whatever the case is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He's just like, a woman falls in love little by little. And one day she wakes up and she's like, oh my God, you know, I actually love this person. And he was talking about the small things that you do subconsciously. So if she's had a bad day at work and she tells you about it, and you've had a great day at work, you don't try and eclipse the story. Well, oh, well, you know, I had a great day at work. And, you know, just the fact that you listened, and then the next day you disclose that you had a great day at work. Like for her, she's like, oh my gosh, you know, he could have told me this, but he took the time to listen. Okay. You know, it's in the small
Thanks.
Things.
I'm writing that down. Okay.
Right, it's the small things. And like, I mean, I see how I fall in love with people,
mm-hmm.
and it's usually just from the smallest interactions. Like, it's the smallest things. Like, I don't have to ask you to do certain things, you just do them.
Yeah.
Or like, you know that this is my favorite thing, and you actually remember it, and you do it when I require it. You take me to my favorite places, you know,
yeah.
and that aren't necessarily expensive.
But you know what I must say about like, that right
yeah.
there? I mean, that's beautiful. And,
yes.
and actually, at the end of the day, I think if more of us as men understood that, we would do it better. But you know what? It's yes. actually harder.
It is.
What you're
suggesting?
Because
you applying yourself instead of just
yeah.
throwing money at it.
Like,
yeah.
heck, let's just go to the latest trendiest restaurant
yeah.
in Joburg that
yeah.
is the most expensive
yeah.
because it's easier than having to remember that you actually like that nice little corner restaurant in that little place that's not necessarily the most
exactly.
expensive, but it's because I can't remember that
yeah.
all I can remember is like yeah. okay, what's trending right now? Let me
and
just go
instead of asking you again, it's like you know, I'm just going to take it elsewhere.
Yeah,
you know? It's about
just,
being constant.
She must just love it because the bill was like 5,000.
That's the thing. And it's like, just when you're present, I feel like it's so important to be present in the relationship you're in, and even the relationship you're entering. You know, I feel like so many of us throw ourselves into these relationships, and then all of a sudden we're like, oh my gosh, what am I in?
Yeah.
You know, instead of taking calculated time and effort and saying, okay, do I want to be with this person?
I think what I've learned over the years
yeah.
is to stop looking for Miss Right, but be Mr. Right.
I love
okay,
that.
And I'm not just trying to say stuff,
no,
but
I
really
love
I
that.
Think
that's
that
great.
When you look at yourself first and you say, I am going to be the best that I can
yeah.
be, you usually attract that anyway,
yes.
right?
It finds you,
but also whatever comes into your life, you can handle it better. Because I think when you are being the best that you can be,
yes.
even when the other person is not, you can still love them. You can still love
them. I agree.
And in turn, they will love you later. Because let's be honest, I also will not always be at my best. Yeah, and all I need sometimes is just that understanding that, yo, yesterday you were
a different beast. Eh?
Yeah, you like really, you complained because the mash tasted burnt. Really?
Yeah.
And it like you were upset. Burnt scent. You know, you had tears in your eyes.
Yeah.
But maybe that for me was like when I was a little boy and my mother couldn't be there, she sent me to stay with my aunt who was this horrible person who didn't care. Burnt, she just cooked this burnt food.
Oh my gosh.
And when I ate the mash, I just remembered what it was like. And I always felt unwanted by my mother before being sent there. And I felt unwanted by this aunt. So all those emotions flooded in like it was like just right now.
But can we just pause at that moment? Mm-hmm. I think it is so, 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 so important to understand that everyone comes from somewhere.
Yeah.
And usually the decisions that have led that person to where they are in life at that moment, you know, it's so deeply rooted that you, if you don't take the time to really unravel it, then, you know, you'll never get to really know the partner you're with and why they behave in the way they behave. So that's so important. I think that was a good point, T. Good point.
Yeah, look, man, I think that at the end of the day, what I've also learned is we maybe have to go back to the simple things in life.
Oh, yeah.
Which is I've learned that some of the best things in life are what has already been written. Guys.
Okay.
Men. Love.
Yeah.
Your wife.
And you know what, T? I think to close it off, because I'll show you. Yeah, this was a good show.
That. You just have to love it. That's what I've learned.
I love
like, there are times where I'm like, this woman is crazy. And I don't know why you're so crazy.
But I love you.
I'm just going to try again to love you. Lord, give me the strength.
I don't like you right now, but I really love you. So I'm just going to walk away.
Yeah.
But I think to just close off the show, the one point I really want everyone, like for me personally, I've been living this. And it actually gives you so much peace of mind and comfort. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I am the person that I would want to fall in love with. And if I meet someone who's not ready for that wild type, I'll meet another. Mm-hmm. You know, letting go of the scarcity mindset because you understand the value you bring to a union.
Yeah. So there's always somebody for somebody.
Always.
Oh, don't worry.
No matter how great the one you have right now is, if he walks away, there will be another.
There will be a somebody.
There are 7 billion people in the world. Trust me, there'll be another.
And you know.
Yeah.
Most of them are in China. I don't know if that's where you want to go for that. But hey.
If that's where the road will lead me, that is where I shall go.
You know what I mean? All right, on that note, we'll see you next week.
Fabulous.
Remember,
bye, guys.
To not do things that will cause your life to be extra complicated.
Or just listen to Luther Vandross, y'all. Love the one you're with.
That's right.
Bye. CliffCentral.com.